Well, greetings and blessings from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I am really excited to share with you this series called The Secret of Radiant Living. The Secret of Radiant Living. And I'm using secret as a noun, which means something taken to be a specific or a key to a desired end. I want to share keys in this series that will bring about the desired end of success and prosperity and abundance for every single person who hears these CDs. You know, I've been on this old planet now for over half a century, and I have yet to run into somebody who says, "You know, Peg, I really want to fail at life. I just want to blow it royally. I just want to make a mess of everything I touch." You know, I haven't met one person who said that to me. Now, maybe they're out there, but I haven't come across them yet. No, I think everybody listening to these CDs and everyone in their heart wants to be a success, wants to succeed at the things that they put their hand to. And folks, there is nothing that we are going to be involved with that's more important than life itself. No job, no sport, no award, no accolade is going to be as important in the end as living this life with success. But Mark 8:36 says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" That is the question that every human born onto this planet must ponder and needs to come up with an answer as to how they're going to save the soul life that they now enjoy. The secret of radiant living is to live for and with the Master. You see, people, there is a God, and you're not Him. There is a God who created and is the creator of all life, and God has a way to do it right. And when you do it God's way, that is the way of success. That is the way that you live this life for the purpose with which God intended it to be lived. And so the first secret or key to a desired end in radiant living is to understand that there is a God and you're not Him. And that He made a way for you to be born again into His family, to accept His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which brings us to the second secret key of radiant living, which is to live for and with the Master Jesus Christ. And that will bring us to what we're going to discuss as our third key, secret of radiant living, which is to learn to get your eyes off yourself and onto the Lord in all His glory. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Ladies and gentlemen, God is the author, the creator of everything about life. So if we're going to live life and live it correctly, then you know what? We're going to do it God's way. So often man thinks he has an answer outside of the way of God, and you know what? It never works. And even if it works temporarily on this planet, it isn't the key to eternal life, which is our ultimate destination. To not only live with God in this world, but to live with God for eternity, in a blessed union and blessed relationship with God. And you know why in the beginning God created the heavens, the cosmos, and the earth? I'll tell you. The answer is in Revelation chapter 4 and in verse 11. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." This is talking about the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. He is worthy. He is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For thou, God, hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, God's pleasure, they are and were created. Human beings were made by God and for God. They were made by God and for God, and until you figure that out, that life is about God first and foremost, then life isn't going to make sense. You will end up spinning your wheels for second-rate causes. Because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, if he has all the accolades, all the money, all the success, and in the end, he loses his own soul? You and I, mankind, we were created by God and for His pleasure. We'll get into some of these things as we go through this series, but God is not mad at you. God is not mad at mankind. Mankind does have an adversary, Satan. But Satan is in no way God's equal or even God's arch enemy. He can't even give God a good run for his money. Satan is a created being that's trying to rack and ruin mankind, but it's our choice whether we listen to him or listen to the truth of God's word. And so, in Hebrews chapter 1, and again, these are things I'm going to touch on. I'm going to paint with a broad brush in this first CD, this first teaching, on things that we're going to get into more in depth as we go through this series. But in Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry or various times and in divers or many manners ways spake in time past unto the fathers by his prophets. So God in various times and in many ways has already spoken in time past unto the fathers, meaning the other writers and prophets of the word, starting in the Old Testament, has already spoken to them and basically told them, hey, this is the purpose of life. This is why you are here. And that same God who spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament, Paul is saying in the book of Hebrews, verse 2, that same God hath in these last days spoken unto us, Paul and the first century church apostles and prophets. God has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he, God, appointed heir of all things, and the text should read, for whom also he made the worlds or the ages. This is telling us the cliff notes of life. God has spoken to these first century church prophets through his Son Jesus, whom he, God, appointed heir of all things. But who made all things? God. So God appointed his Son, a man, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the heir of all things that God had made. He set his Son to be in command underneath him of all things in heaven and earth until God makes Jesus' enemies his footstool. It says in 1 Corinthians 15. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he, God, has appointed heir of all things, for whom also he made the worlds, the ages. We're going to talk about this in the next session, but see, there are always two ways of looking at life. There's man's way, and then there's God's way. In our way, seeing in man's way, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, we see through a glass darkly. God sees all of life past, present, and future, and that is why he can say before the foundations of the world in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, that he chose you and I, that he saw us already as his children in his foreknowledge. The reason he created the ages for Jesus Christ is because God saw Jesus Christ, his Son, as being the Messiah, the Savior of mankind, the way, the truth, and the life, before he ever put the earth in space and before he ever breathed into the nostrils of Adam. God already knew what Adam and Eve were going to do. He already knew what people were going to do with Noah before the flood. He already knows what you're going to do tomorrow. Now, that doesn't mean he's the puppet master. He's controlling you. It's just like he's already seen the DVD and he knows the end of the movie. You know, sometimes when I think about the way we see life and the way God sees life, I don't know if you've ever tried to watch an eclipse of when the moon goes between the earth and the sun, but you can't look at an eclipse. According to scientists, if you stare at an eclipse, it'll actually burn the retina of your eye out. You can't look at it. So the way that the scientists tell you to view the eclipse is they tell you to take a piece of cardboard, punch a little tiny hole in it about the size of the end of a ballpoint pen. Take that piece of cardboard, hold it at your shoulder to the side of your head with your back to the sun, put a piece of white paper in front of you, and you can actually, through the hole in the cardboard, view on the paper in your hand the eclipse without hurting your eyes. Now, maybe that's a crazy example, but look, no man has seen God at any time. We can't take in the glory of God in this body with these physical eyeballs and handle it. That's why we see through a glass darkly. Our spirit is the spirit that we're going to live with for eternity, but right now that spirit, that glory, lives in an earthen vessel. God, of course, can stare at the sun. God made the sun. S-U-N. God's glory is the brightness of the sun, using that as an analogy. And the whole point of life is that we would not only come to know and love God, but that we, like that piece of paper, would reflect God's love, God's glory, God's grace back to a world filled with human beings of whom God would like all to be his children. God would like every human on this earth to choose him, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Every human won't. Some will lose their soul. But that's not God's choice. God lays the invitation out there for everyone, and it's up to each and every individual to choose to accept or reject God's gracious invitation. Accepting that invitation is the beginning of the secret of radiant living. In verse 3, we read about Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person, the express reflection of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, Jesus sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Goodness gracious. The way the New Living Translation translates part of verse 3 is the Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, the Son reflects God's own glory. And everything about him represents God exactly. That is such a beautiful translation because, you know, Jesus Christ is not God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the sinless man that was born to a world that was covered in sin and death and gave man a way to save his soul, gave man a way to righteousness, gave man a way to God. But where it says, the Son reflects, Jesus reflects God's own glory, and everything about him represents God exactly. That is the crux. That is the crux of what we're going to cover in the secret of radiant living. That Jesus Christ was the express image. He radiated, he reflected God's own glory. He wasn't God and isn't God, but he reflected and reflects God's own glory. He is the express image, the very character of God himself. And here's the mind-blowing part. That is exactly what we are supposed to do once we accept Christ as our Savior. We too are sent to reflect God to the world so that when people see us, they see the nature of Jesus Christ. They see the love and the nature of His Father and our Father, God Almighty, reflected in the way we act, the way we comport ourselves in this life. Look at Acts chapter 17, please. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are like Jesus Christ right now in our spirit. In our spirit. But when we become raised from the dead, we will be like him in a new spiritual body. We will still be human beings, but we'll be complete beings as God designed us to be before the foundation of the world. Basically, that's what Paul was talking about in Acts chapter 17 when he went up to Mars Hill in Athens and he just saw, I think there was something like 2 or 3 miles of idols, pagan gods that these people just worshipped. They had a god for everything, you know, a god for peanut butter, a god for jackrabbits. I mean, they had a god for everything. And praise the Lord, there was one statue there called to the unknown god. And Paul said, hey, I'm going to talk to you about that one. And Paul says in Acts 17:24, God that made the world. Okay, God made the world. God made the world, and he made the world for Jesus Christ because Christ always was his plan for salvation. Christ always was the promised seed who was going to allow men and women to be born of God's seed so that they could be born into the family of God and live with God forever. That plan has never changed, never had a ding in it, a dent. It just always has gone forward as God planned before the foundation of the world. Why? Because he's God. You know, there was an old TV series called All in the Family, and Archie Bunker used to say, God don't make no mistakes, that's what makes him God. This plan that God has is perfect. If you latch on to God's plan, that is the secret of radiant living. If you live for and with God, if you live for and with the Master, if you get your eyes off yourself, your fleshly shortcomings, and put them on to the Lord and His glory, you allow yourself to receive in the depth of your heart the magnitude of this plan that God wanted you before the foundation of the world. God wants you to be part of his family. Goodness gracious, that is awesome. Awesome to have that faith in your heart. Acts 17:24, Paul speaking, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he's Lord, of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. What are we going to give him he doesn't have? Seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. You know, I don't want to take a sidebar here, but if people just believed that one sentence in the Bible, there would be no racial inequality or wars or hatred. People, we all came from one blood. Some people like me sunburn a little easier than others, but we are all one blood. We need to get that straight. We're of the human race. We are all brothers and sisters made of the Lord, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. And he, God, has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. This is just saying, you know, God made an earth that's going to hold a certain amount of men. He knows the bounds of our habitation. And why did he make the earth? Why did he populate it from Adam and Eve and produce all races and genders and sizes and shapes of men and women? He produced all of mankind for one simple reason, for one simple reason, verse 28, that they should seek the Lord. You ask, why are people here? We are here for one reason. In our life, we might make $1 billion. We might become the president of the United States. We may be a kindergarten teacher. We may be a bicycle racer. But that is not why we're here. The purpose for you, the purpose for me, the purpose for mankind is that they should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. How close is he to us? Verse 28 tells us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device. God's not in these statues you have around here, he was telling the men on Mars Hill. He's not in one of these idols that you have set up along the road. That's not who God is. And he says in verse 30, and the times of this ignorance, God winked at it. But now, and this goes for us today, but now God commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he, God, has ordained, wherefore he has given assurance unto all that he has raised him, Jesus, from the dead. That is God's assurance that his plan was and is coming to pass by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Redeemer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way unto God. Because what does it profit if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Do you know, when we are resurrected from the dead, we will have the spirit that we received at the time we're born again, but we will have a new spiritual body made like unto Jesus' body. Jesus, who said he was not a spirit, he was not of the nature of angels, because spirit has not flesh and blood as Jesus has now. He's a human being, a perfected human being, and we will have our soul in the future. Jesus knew who he was, and he knew the people that he had associated with here on earth. I mean, do you realize, people, that this is the ticket to living with your best friends, your loved ones, your family for eternity? That you and I are going to know these people in the future? That our favorite people that are no longer with us, if they accepted Jesus Christ, are going to be with us forever? And that our soul in a new body with our Christ-like spirit is going to live for eternity with Jesus Christ and with our Father God. That is the reason we were born in the first place on this earth. Acts 17:27, that you and I should seek the Lord and reach out for him and do it God's way. This is so simple that it almost amazes me that people can miss it. You know, I've heard people come up and say to me, oh, why would God be so stingy that you can only get born again through Jesus Christ? I just have to marvel and say, what is hard about that? What is hard about believing that there is a God, all you got to do is open your eyes and look at a tree, look at a new baby, look at a plant, and know that there's a higher intelligence that created life on earth. Okay, so if you get to that step, then why not turn to the word of that higher intelligence? Why not turn to the word of that creator to say, hey, what am I doing here? What's my point here on earth? Jesus encapsulated this beautifully in John 14. Verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. This is the way to soothe a troubled heart. Number 1, let not your heart be troubled. How? You believe in God, step number 1. You believe in God, step number 1. Believe also in me, step number 2. Is that hard? Jesus says this is the way to a peaceful heart. This is the way to successful living. This is, ladies and gentlemen, the secret, the key to a desired end. This is the secret of radiant living. And not only does God want us to know this in our life, He wants us to tell every man, woman, and child, hello, hello, this is what you're here for. To seek the Lord, if happily you may find Him. He's already looking for you. He already wants you in His family. But you've got to reciprocate. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Duh. Believe also in me. You know, people, the big question in life really isn't, even though I know there's some atheists, I think it's about 0.05% of the population of our country, there are some people that foolish to try to say there is no God. But you know, for most people, that's not the big question. Almost anyone can look around and say, wow, something greater than us created all this. Something more magnificent than us is the author of all of life. And so the big question in life, folks, really becomes, who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? Who do you say Christ is? I can remember being raised as a Catholic. And somehow by God's mercy and grace, even as a Catholic, I never believed that Jesus Christ was God the Father. I always believed that He was the Son of God, created by God in the womb of Mary, and was given authority and power by God. I don't know how I got that right. It could have been the Spirit of God working in me as a child. But I backslid or fell away from my belief in God from the time I was probably around 14 or 15 until the time I was 22. And came back to the Lord full force and spoke in tongues and committed my life to the Lord and basically never looked back. Have stayed committed by His mercy and grace. But I remember the one question that plagued me like just a weight on me all those years was the question, who is Jesus Christ? Did He really live? Was He just an historical figure? Who was and is Jesus Christ? That was the burning question that just hammered and hammered and hammered at the door of my heart. And I remember when I went to one of my first Bible fellowships, that question was answered for me in spades, that Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God. And as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, that I needed to know that God was in Christ. God wasn't Christ, nor was Christ God, but God was in Christ, reconciling, bringing back together that which had been separated. The world, the relationship with God that had been separated, had been severed by Adam and Eve. That true, genuine, intimate relationship with God, Elohim, the Creator, that had been broken through the sin of Adam and Eve, through the sin, the disobedience of Adam in particular. That Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born of Mary, but that God's Spirit, God's power was in Christ. God's plan was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, unto God, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us, to you and me and everyone hearing these CDs who believes this teaching, and has committed unto us this word, this truth of reconciliation. My goodness gracious, people, what a high and holy calling. You want a purpose for life? Boy, this makes me want to jump out of my skin. This makes me want to jump around the room and shout hallelujah. I know why I'm here. I know why I was born. I know what I'm supposed to be doing every day. I know what my vision is for tomorrow. And I even know what I'm going to be doing for eternity. Granted, I don't have a Polaroid picture of eternity, but I certainly can see the signposts and I see the snapshots of a future life with God and Jesus Christ that is paradise, where there's no more sickness, no more crying, no more wavering, but the love of God covers the earth like the waters of the sea. I'm part of that kingdom. I am part of that plan, and so are you. I just have to stop here for a minute and let my mind just try to take this in, because it's so big. It's so wonderful. And we'll see through these CDs, these teachings in The Secret of Radiant Living. Goodness gracious, people, if God planned you before the foundation of the earth, if he planned Jesus as the plan of salvation, the purpose of the ages, of bringing many sons unto glory, of reconciling men and women back to God, if God has this whole thing in his power, under control, is there anything that this God will not do for you that he has promised in the here and now? I think it says in Romans chapter 8 that he that freely gave to us his own Son and delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him or through Jesus Christ freely give us all things that he has promised in the Word? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Look at Colossians chapter 1, please. Life is not meant to be just a constant grind of get up in the morning, go to work, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Life is meant to be a banquet with God. Life is meant to be lived, this life I'm talking about, is meant to be lived as royalty here on earth, as the ambassadors. If I'd read that next verse in 1 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent God here on earth, and the way we represent him is through our lifestyle, through our character, by allowing our character to be remolded, reparented by his character. We're really going to get into that. That we would taste and see that the Lord is good, so that people can see the goodness of God in our life, the blessings of God, the favor of God in our life. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy that for you people. And, you know, we are the ones who have to stand up and raise our heads held high and say, I am what the Word of God says I am. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. Therefore, I do. How? Not through my own power, but I can do all things through Christ, through Christ, through Christ, who is my inner strength, who lives with inside my clay vessel, my body, right this second. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 25, wherefore I, Paul, was made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given unto me for you, to fulfill the word of God, or to fully preach the word of God. What was he going to fully preach to people? Verse 26, Even the mystery, which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now, right now, N.O.W. in 2008, is made manifest or made evident to His saints. What are saints? Heaven's holiest. Anyone who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, has been given that new spirit on the inside, is a saint. Hagion, heaven's holiest. The mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to you and me. Wow, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That same glory that Jesus radiated of the Father in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, that same glory of God, that same glory has been placed on the inside of every single child of God. Oh my goodness gracious, what does that mean? It means that every place on earth there is a born again believer. That it's as if Jesus Christ was personally present right there. As long as that human being, that Son of God, that child of the Most High God, has their eyes on the Master and is doing the Master's bidding. You know why that was a secret? Because Satan himself could not have imagined what power, what glory, what magnificence, what radiance God was going to place in His children, not only in the future, but in this world right now in which we live. That it would be Christ in you, the hope of glory. I remember a preacher a long time ago telling a story about how, you know, a drunk comes out of the bar, and after he's had two or three drinks, boy, he just thinks he can lick any man in town. Boy, he's just got his shoulders thrown back, just, you know, challenging someone to come up and mess with him because he's got a little bit of the wrong kind of spirit inside of him. He thinks he can lick any man in town. Ladies and gentlemen, we're filled with the glory of the Spirit of the living God. This is the secret of radiant living. You and I, men and women, filled with the radiance, the secret, the power, the glory, the mystery that was hid from generations, is that men and women in this life, even prior to the resurrection of the body, because Job and all those people in the Old Testament, they knew about the resurrection. You know what wasn't known? That men and women prior to the resurrection of the physical body were going to be filled with the Spirit of the living Christ. That was a secret, a mystery. So the secret of radiant living is to know that you are filled with the Spirit of the living God. All nine, all the time, can walk with the power, with the miracles of the Old and New Testament saints, seeing the phenomena, being able to have a taste of the world that is to come right now through the Spirit that resides within you. Boy, oh boy, you can walk out of a building not like that old drunk, but as a son of God. Throwing your shoulders back, feeling like you own this side of the street, and you're thinking about buying the other. Why? Because the power of the living God is resonant within you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There is no power on earth that can defeat you when you're walking with that key in your heart, the secret of radiant living for and with the Master. Man, oh man, oh man, look at John 17. Well, I want to read one more verse before we turn to John 17. Verse 28. Whom we preach, now that you know it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning who? Every man, and what? Teaching every man. Why? Because in Acts chapter 17, it said that God put us here that every man would seek Him, the purpose of life, the author of life, who had men and women that could choose to be His children. Why? For His pleasure. He thought us up out of love. He brought us onto this planet out of His love. He made a way for us to be reconciled by His love. You know what it says in 1 Corinthians 13, "And now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." The one thing that's never going to change, that's never going to pass away, not now, not in all eternity, is God's love for us. And we are supposed to go about our day-by-day living. I don't care if you're the butcher, the baker, or the candlestick maker. It's not just my job as a teacher and a preacher. This is your job as a child of God, as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would preach and you would warn every man and teach every man in all wisdom. What wisdom? That God wanted them before the foundation of the world, and all they got to do is reach out and take it. Hey, you believe in God? Now take the next step. Believe in Jesus Christ. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Do I get a little excited about this stuff? You betcha. Because you know what, people? I never wander aimlessly. I never wake up in the morning and say, "Why am I here?" I'm not going to fib. Some days I have a harder time believing that I'm a son of God and I have all power in the universe at my disposal than others. But most days I do a pretty good job of locking into it. And the only reason I want to teach other people is for their release, for their profit, so they can be released from the power of darkness, and they too can step into the kingdom of His dear Son. You and I literally have the power to raise people from the dead spiritually every time we lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's not a great thing to look forward to every day when you get up, I don't know what to entice you with, because I don't know of any reason to get up that is better than to spread and share the love of God with your fellow man that day, starting with your spouse, starting with your children, and then reaching out to your fellow workers and your friends, to go out to the stranger in the market, wherever you meet them, in the highways and byways, and to know that you have life with a capital L, a capital I, a capital F, and a capital E to offer to anyone, to whosoever. Why? Look at John 17:11, this great prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was about to leave and to go to the cross and to be resurrected from the dead. And in John 17, verse 9, this always blows my mind. He said, "I pray for them," talking about His disciples, "I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine, and all are Thine, and Thine are Mine, and I am glorified in Him." Remember Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3? When Jesus came to earth, He was God's plan, and He radiated, reflected God back to this earth. Now, this is what is amazing, people, because God has foreknowledge. He doesn't make you do anything, but He already knows what you're going to choose. You are part of God's plan just as much as Jesus, because now you take the place of the absent Christ and you reflect God to this world. That is why He's the captain of your salvation, speaking of Jesus. And that is why, ladies and gentlemen, He is not ashamed to call you His brother. He's not ashamed to call me His sister. We are of the family of God. Jesus Christ being our Savior, our Redeemer, but also our brother and the first fruits of them who are raised from the dead. Verse 11, Jesus said, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. We take the place of the absent Christ." I'm saying that's not written here. That's me telling you. This is what Jesus is saying. He's not in the world, but He's going to leave someone something in the world so that we can take his place, so that we can continue to do the plan of God. We can continue to do the good works of our Father, it says in Ephesians 2:10. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name. And when it says to keep through thine own name, that represents God's authority, power, and glory. To keep through God's own authority and power those whom thou hast given me, that the reason being, they may be one as we are one. Goodness gracious alive, if that doesn't put a smile on your face that it would take a plastic surgeon to remove. This is God's vision of you. This is how God sees you right now, that you are one with him, even as Jesus Christ is one with him. That is the mystery that God revealed to the prophets of old in a vision, but was now in the time of the first century church made plain to the prophets and apostles of the first century church, the mystery that was hidden, that men and women would be born again of God's Spirit and would be one with him as Jesus Christ is one. Look in John 17:21. Well, look at verse 20, because this really blows your mind. Jesus said in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, these disciples that were with him in the garden, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. When we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we believe through our word what God says. And when we believe God's word and we confess, we believe not only in God, but we believe in his way of salvation, Jesus Christ. Look at what happens in verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. This is the purpose for which we were born onto this earth. This is the secret of radiant living. And we're going to see in the next session that man's basic spiritual problem is still just simply the integrity of God's word, just believing what this word says. But people, for those of us who believe that there is a God and we're not him, there is a God that is the creator of all things and we are the created beings. That is the first key to the secret of radiant living, the desired purpose, the desired end for our purpose here on this earth. And then, as we believe not only in God but in Jesus Christ, then we can decide. This is a choice. This is a choice that every person has to make. Even when you're born again, you have to make this choice to make Jesus not just your Savior, but to take him as your Lord. To decide to live for and with the Master. Then you can get on to the secret of radiant living, which is to get your eyes off of yourself and your past shortcomings, and get your eyes onto the glory of the Lord that God wants to reflect through you and back to the world. That's why on the beginning of the syllabus, which you can download by a PDF on your computer, I put on the front a beautiful picture of the moon reflected onto a beautiful body of water, because people, there are two ways to spread the light, to be the light or to be the mirror that reflects it. God is the light. God reflected himself through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ reflected God perfectly to the world. He was the express image of God's glory. But once you and I are born again, we have been given the same job description, to finish the work of our Father, to be part of God's plan. How? By you and I reflecting God's glory out to the world so that the world can choose Christ. That is the secret of radiant living. That's what we're going to be covering in this series of teachings. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that this changes your life, because if there's ever a time that the world is dark and screaming for the light of God's love and God's deliverance, we're in the midst of it. We're in the midst of it. And God has given us the power, the 9 manifestations, the Spirit on the inside, the Christ in you, the hope of glory, to go out, that we may be one, as thou, Father, art in Christ, and Christ in thee, that they, you and I also, may be one in them, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That is the secret of radiant living. That is our job description. That is our joy and privilege. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for this whole high and holy privilege. Amen.